Well, last week, if you were here, you might remember that I spoke from God's Word found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And I'm going to be continuing to look a little bit at those three verses, but go on to the next three verses. And just as a reminder as to where we were last week, we're kind of at a pivot point within this book of Paul's written to the Colossian believers. And at this pivot point, he had previously been focusing upon who Jesus Christ is and who we are in Him. So he spent a lot of time reminding us of that identity we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And now he begins to say, in light of who you are, in light of who you are in Christ, here's how we live. Here's the lifestyle, the behavior, the interactions that we should have with one another because of who we are in Christ. And so I'll read from verses 12 through 17. And then speak primarily on the last three verses in this passage. So if you have your Bibles, follow along or follow along on the screen. There God says through Paul, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I think all of us probably know the story of Noah and his ark and the flood that came. And if you know the story, you know how just days before the rains began to fall, God helped Noah to gather two of every animal. The animals went into that place of safety, that place of salvation, from the wrath of God. In that place they stayed as the rains fell, as the waters rose, until the waters went down. And this is what happened. The cat that went in as a cat came out as a cat. The elephant that went in as an elephant came out as an elephant. But you see, when you and I come to the place of putting our faith in Jesus Christ, when we come to that point, we are never the same after that. We are different because of Christ. We're different because we're now in Christ. We are called, in God's Word, new creations. At that point, no longer is our primary identity found in the typical things of this world. Our primary identity, as ones who've come to faith in Jesus Christ, is now in Christ. That's why Paul said to the Galatians, in a passage some of the quizzers jumped on yesterday from chapter 3, verse 28, he said, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Now, he wasn't saying there that those different aspects of who we are individually don't exist any longer. They do. Within the churches at Galatia, there were still those with Jewish backgrounds, those with Gentile backgrounds. There were still those with different stratas within the culture itself, some free, some slave. There were still boys and girls, men and women, male and female. But what Paul is saying is that your identity no longer lies primarily in those sorts of things. We are now one in Christ Jesus, and our identity is in Him. Because of that, how we think, how we act, how we interact with one another, it all changes. And we behave in different ways, not so that we can somehow gain God's favor, not that so somehow we can improve our status with God. We do so because in Christ we've been changed. And that's the point of this letter to the Colossians in these last couple of chapters. Paul has said already to those believers, and he says to us, we're holy and without blemish in the sight of God. He said, you're chosen by God. You're set apart for God. You're dearly loved by God. He says you're with Christ, you belong to Christ, you're in Christ, and because of that, here's what needs to happen. In chapter 3, verse 5, he said, here's some things you put behind you, you put to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed. And then he says, here's some things you need to get rid of because of who you are. He says, get rid of anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language. And then as we looked last week, he said, here's some things you need to put on because of who you are. Compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. He says, with regards to one another, with others who also belong to Christ, who are in Christ, we bear with them, we forgive them. And then he says, over everything else, put on love. He goes now from that point to saying, here's some priorities that we need to have in life. He says, here's the four priorities we need as ones who are in Christ. The first we'll look at is we need to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Secondly, he says we need to let the message of Christ dwell amongst us richly. He thirdly says, here's the priority, let the name of Christ be the focus in everything you do in life. And finally, let thankfulness flow from your life. So we'll look at those four priorities. The first is, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. The peace of Christ is to be as the arbitrator or the referee in our hearts. In fact, the word rule in Paul's day, that word could be translated like a referee at a sporting event. It was a word describing someone in that position, someone who would determine what was what. You know, think of the peace of Christ as being that referee at a basketball game. They, in a sense, guide the game. They call the game. They determine what is right and what is wrong. They determine what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. See, the peace of Christ, we're told here, is to be the referee in our hearts. Now, it's very common to have other things ruling our hearts, whether we think about it or not. We can have our emotions ruling our hearts. Emotions telling us what to do, what to say, what is in bounds, what is out of bounds. Emotions can rule our hearts. Fears can rule our hearts. Fears can tell us what to do, what not to do, what is in bounds, what is out of bounds. Our pride can rule in our hearts. Our pride can tell us what to do, what to say, what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. Sometimes it's our desire to please others that can rule our hearts. And that can tell us what to do, what to say, what's in bounds and out of bounds. Those are just a few of the many things that can rule our hearts. And oftentimes, what can rule our hearts is not necessarily just one of those, but there can be a conglomeration of them. These things make a difference in all that we do in life. And what Paul is telling us here is that we who are in Christ, we need to not let those other things rule or referee in our hearts. We're to have the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Now, the peace that's spoken of here, it's exactly what we think it would mean. It's speaking of tranquility within our hearts. It's speaking of an inner stress and an anxiety not being there anymore. And we'd all want that, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you want a heart that's always free from anxiety and stress? Wouldn't you want a heart that's always tranquil? Of course. Now, where does that come from? Well, God's Word tells us. First of all, it comes from Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Yeah, on one side of us are all of the various things that are part of this world which can promise us peace or give us the idea peace will be found there. There they all are. And on the other side, there's Jesus. And the only peace that's lasting, the only peace that's real, the only peace that can be in there in the midst of life's worst circumstances comes from Jesus. This peace, which is to rule in our hearts, it comes from Jesus. Another thing about where this peace comes from, it comes from who we are in Christ. It comes from our identity in Christ. We're told in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we know Because of who we are in Christ, we know that we've been chosen and dearly loved by God. And that knowledge gives our hearts peace. We know because of who we are in Christ that we are forgiven, that we're now holy, we're without blemish in the sight of the Lord. And that knowledge gives our hearts peace. We know as ones who are in Christ that the Creator of all things, that the Sustainer of all things, is one that's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And that awareness gives our hearts peace. As ones in Christ, we are told that we're now children of God. God who promises to work out all things for our good. And that knowledge gives our hearts peace. So peace comes from Jesus. Peace comes from our identity in Christ. Peace also comes when we take those situations that can produce anything but peace and we give them to the Lord in prayer. You know the verses from Philippians 4, I'm sure, which tell us in verses 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever the anxiety-producing situation is, we take it to God. We take it to Him. We don't just tell Him about it, but we entrust it to Him. We might not, likely won't be sure how it's all going to be worked out, but we can have a peace because we know whatever it is that we're facing that troubles our hearts, it's now in the hands of the One who can work all things out. The peace of Christ. It also comes as we simply trust in the Lord. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Maybe you're not the same as me, but as a young child, when I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I didn't have many troubles in my heart. I had a lot of peace, and that was because I didn't worry a bit about where the next gallon of milk was going to come from. I didn't worry about the electric bill. I didn't worry how the doctor's bill was going to be paid. My parents took all care of all that. I didn't even think about it. I just trusted them. And out of that trust came a great peace. And it's the same with us and God. The more fully we see the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and then trust in God, the more complete our peace will be. Now, this past week, as I was thinking about the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, I was trying to think of a good illustration that really helped me understand what I was talking about. And I didn't have that illustration until yesterday morning when I was driving. So this came to me in the car yesterday morning. I left before 6 o'clock to get down to Upland, Indiana for that quiz off, which was mentioned earlier. And when I left, it was quite foggy outside. And as I was driving along, I had my GPS in the car, so I knew I'd programmed it to take me where I was going. But as I was driving along, I was going through back roads. I didn't know where I was. I couldn't really see around me at all. And all of a sudden, I began to get a little troubled. You know, where is this taking me right now? I wasn't quite sure. But the more I trusted in my GPS, the more peace I had in my heart. There was a time in the car I thought, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get there on time. I'm going a little slower than I anticipated. And yet I looked on that particular little gadget and it said, you're going to get there 5 minutes before you need to be there. All right? And when I trusted it, I had peace. Peace was ruling in my heart. And it's the same with God. When we realize He's there with us, that He's guiding us, that He loves us, that He has our best in mind in whatever He's doing or allows to be done, then there's peace in our hearts. That peace needs to be ruling in our hearts. That's the first priority. The second is, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as it says in verse 16. Now, the message of Christ literally is the Word of Christ. It's speaking of the Word of God or the Bible. And the Bible is to dwell amongst us, it says. It's speaking specifically corporately to the church. The Word of God is to dwell amongst us, but if it's going to be a part of dwelling amongst us as a whole, And that means it also has to dwell in us as individuals. And it needs to be dwelling within us abundantly. A word meaning kind of jammed full of it. Meaning that every segment of who we are needs to be affected by and directed by the Word of God. And so I want to look at this both individually and corporately. And individually, we need to make sure that we are in the Word. If you are counting on Sunday mornings for the 20, 30 minutes coming from me, I mean, that's great, but that's kind of spiritual grazing, and you're not going to really be able to have this Word of God dwell in you. We need to be regular in it. We need to plan for it, because if we don't plan for it, it usually doesn't happen. The Word of Christ needs to be richly dwelling in us, and to accomplish that, we need to do a couple of things. We need to read it, first of all, or listen to it, however it comes to us, because that's how we get to know it. But we also need to take time to study it, because that's the way we get to understand it. We need to take time then, thirdly, to meditate on it, because that's how we internalize it. And then fourthly, and maybe most importantly, we need to submit to it, which involves believing it to be from God and then putting it into practice. So we need to be involved in allowing the Word of God to dwell in us richly. And I want to give you just a bit of encouragement. You know, sometimes we can think, well, I don't know a lot of God's Word. Maybe we didn't have the opportunity to learn it as children in Bible quizzing or whatever. And we just don't know a lot. We can feel kind of lesser because of that. I just want to encourage you, whatever you have in your heart with regards to the Word of God, whether big or small, allow it to be God's Word to you. Let's say there was only two short lines from God's Word that's in your heart, something we looked at last week. Bear with one another and forgive each other whatever grievances you have against one another. Well, just allow that to dwell in your hearts richly. Allow that to infiltrate who you are. Just submit to the Word of God that you know. The Word of God needs to dwell in us richly, and it needs to dwell in us richly corporately also. It needs to be amongst us as a church. We do that as we function as the church. The Word of God must be there in all of our teaching and admonishing, as the verse goes on to say. Teaching and admonishing, really two sides of the coin of the proclamation of God's Word. We need to teach and admonish it, but it must be based on the Word of God. It must be all marinated in the Word of God. And also in our singing, whether it be psalm or hymn or songs of the Spirit, as Paul was describing what they did at that time, the songs we sing need to be in line with the Word of God. So our second priority as ones who are in Christ need to be that we need to let the Word of God, the message of Christ, dwell amongst us richly. The third is we need to let the name of Christ be the focus of everything that we do. In verse 17 it says, and whatever you do. I mean, you know some of the things you're going to be doing in the next week, the next 7 days. Some of those things you know, some you don't know. The entire list, whether in word or deed, is to be done in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through Him. That means everything that we do needs to be done to praise Him, to glorify Him, honor Him. And it doesn't matter if that thing is perhaps standing in front and preaching a message as I'm doing, or going back home and cleaning a toilet. It doesn't matter. All to be done with the focus on Jesus Christ, doing it for His honor, for His glory. One more priority we look at, and that is we need to let thankfulness flow from our lives. You might have noticed in this short little bit of scripture we've been looking at, this idea of thankfulness is woven throughout. Verse 15 says, and be thankful. Verse 16, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Verse 17, giving thanks to God. Now the implication is that this spirit of thankfulness, it's to be an integral part of our lives. As ones who have come to faith in Christ, as ones who are in Christ. But how does that happen? I'll tell you something you know already, and that is we aren't born with that naturally, are we? No. Did you ever hear a parent tell their child, you're being too thankful, tone it back a little bit? No. No, parents work hard to teach thankfulness to their child. In fact, if you heard your parents say to you, what do you say? We know, thank you, whether we mean it or not. Because you want them to learn that. So it doesn't come naturally. How can it readily flow from us in our lives? Well, perhaps an answer to that is found a chapter earlier, chapter 2, verse 7. There we're told to overflow with thankfulness. And when I hear of that phrase, overflow, my mind immediately goes back to when our children were about knee-high. And it was bath night. And all five of them had to have baths. Now, it wasn't untypical for the floor of the bathroom to get a little water on it. The water would overflow. Most of the time, it was just from their exuberant playing, and the water would splash out. But there was an occasion or two when the water was flowing from the faucet, and they thought it'd be fun to stop up the exit in the tub, and it just overflowed the edge. See, there's two images of overflowing. Too often, when it comes to overflowing with thankfulness, we think of the first. We have to put a lot of effort in to giving thanks. So we splash and squirm and try to be thankful in that way. But I believe the best way to be thankful is the second way. Just let our hearts be so filled with gratitude that it overflows. Fill your heart with gratitude, first of all, just by recognizing your blessings. The earthly blessings, the physical blessings. Allow yourself to learn the skill of seeing blessings. And when you do, remember that every single one of them comes from God. Remember that every single one of them, they come to you not because of who you are, not because of anything God owes you. They come out of God's love for you and His grace for you. And when those things are firmly cemented in our minds, then it's as if that exit of the tub is blocked and the water is flowing and thankfulness will flow out. Well, chapters 1 and 2 of Colossians, again, they tell us very clearly who Jesus Christ is. They tell us that He is God, that He's the creator and sustainer of all things. They tell us that He's the one who holds all things together. But those chapters also tell us who we are as believers. We're chosen by God. We're dearly loved. We're rescued from the dominion of darkness, brought into His kingdom. We've been redeemed. We've been fully forgiven. We are recipients of future glorious inheritance. We are in Christ. And as ones in Christ, well, chapters 3 and 4 tell us, here's how you live. Saved by Him, we belong to Him, our identity's with Him, and here's how we live with Him. And what we looked at today had to do with some priorities we who are in Christ ought to have. First, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Trust Him. Hang on to Him. Secondly, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Thirdly, let the name of Christ be the focus in everything that you do. And then finally, be thankful. Overflow with it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for what You say to us through it. Thank You for who we are in You. And I pray that You will continue to teach all of us, each of us, how to live in line with the reality we have now in You. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.